Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Amiko. Welcome to What You Read Next podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Amiko Jean, and I live in Washington State with my partner and twins. I have 3.5-year-old boy-girl twins that I call my love spawns. And I am the author of YA books, Will Never Be Apart, Empress of All Seasons, and the forthcoming Tokyo Ever After.
I love this. I am so excited to chat about Tokyo Ever After. It was just like frothy. I was just telling you before that it was frothy, fun, sparkling, like just a perfect pandemic escape. So yeah. It's coming at the right time. Like it's a beachy read. So yeah. I love this. So let's see. Did you always wanted to write YA novels? Were you a YA reader or did it came afterwards and like why YA?
Yeah, so I've always been, I think every writer starts as a reader. I've always been a really big reader. Like I remember going with my mom to our local bookstore or the library and getting stacks of books. Like the rule was as many as I could carry, and I could carry, I was surprisingly strong for a little girl. And, but I actually didn't consider writing until later. So I went to college and I majored in science and then I pursued a master's degree in teaching. Mm-hmm. And part of this now that I reflect on it was because I didn't really see myself in the books I loved. I don't remember reading a Japanese American author. I don't remember reading books that had Japanese American protagonists in them. And so I think without that representation, I didn't believe that writing or publishing was a pathway for me. So fast forward years and years, I finished my master's degree. I went into the education field. And that's when I actually decided to write my first book. My current job, I didn't love. I was really unhappy at it. And I kind of thought, and I started actually writing while I was working there. Like I would write while I was supposed to be doing work for them. I thought, I love reading. Why don't I try writing what I loved reading, which was young adult. Mm-hmm. And I drafted my first young adult manuscript and it was terrible. It was during the Twilight craze. Mm-hmm. So mine of course had like werewolves and vampires and everything like that in it. That did not get me an agent. It didn't get me any sort of representation. But then my second novel did, Will Never Be Apart. And that's what landed me my agent and was published as my debut.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I love this experience of like writing what you haven't seen, like, you know, put the story that you wanted to see others to read, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think it's great that we're getting more representation, but I feel like we need more, you know. I think we just need more, you know. I think authors like you are groundbreaking of like, you know, paving the way for other authors to come in and keep sharing their stories.
It's so important. And that absence, you know, in my childhood was so formative. And I didn't, looking back, I can see that now, but I didn't realize it as I was growing up that there was something exclusionary about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've been asking this question to authors as, you know, is it something interesting? Like what brings you joy? Like what sparks joy for you? Like, is it something, is it writing? Is it reading? Is it something else that doesn't have anything to do monetarily, but you do it and it feels like fun? Yeah.
Yeah, there are a few things. I mean, of course it's writing. That's, mm-hmm. I've never felt so fulfilled doing a job as I have being an author. The other thing that sparks a lot of joy for me are my children. I'm kind of a newish mom. My twins are 3.5 and it's just amazing to watch them grow and and see them change. And so I have a really good time with them. And then like the last thing that I've been, this is my recent spark of joy, is I've been watching the show Younger. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's all about the publishing world, and probably none of it is accurate, but I've been like devouring that. It's so fun.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I feel you. I feel, it's like, it's, it shows like New York. I lived in New York now 14 years and I'm like, that my apartment did not look like those lofts in Brooklyn. And I was like, and the clothes, the heels, the stuff, the polishing world. I'm like, just yeah. It does not look like that at all, but it's just so frothy and fun. Yeah.
There's an escapism element to it. And I, so I was like, I had my second COVID shot on Friday last week, and I was in bed all day on Saturday, and I just watched like the first and second season, and it's just a beautiful kind of show to watch. Like, it's like I said, there's an escapism element to it. It's really fun to watch. It's easy. And I was like, they have like, they always have such beautiful clothes and like cute hair and stuff. And I was like ordering headbands on Etsy while I was sick. So I got into it, and that's,
I got a question. Which team are you in? Team Josh or Team Charles?
Oh yeah. Okay. So I was in Team Charles. But I do really like Josh. It's hard. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's okay.
Do you have a preference?
I think I'm going Team Charles. I feel like he's like a grown up, you know. Mm-hmm. Although I have to say, I love reading about older women dating younger men. Like, yeah. I'm here for it. Like, yeah. any books for that?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm also like, you know, 40, and I'm turning 40 this year. I'm like, so if I date like a 25-year-old, like, what would it look like? You know?
I agree. I think for Liza, Charles is probably the better choice.
Yeah, but you know. It was just fun.
He is fun and so sweet. He's so sweet in the show.
He really is. Yeah. So sweet. So what has been the process of writing during the pandemic? Has it been any easier, any harder? Yeah.
You know, it's been both. It's been both. I have been really creatively inclined, which I know that's not true for a lot of authors during the pandemic. But I've been really driven, and I found some concepts that I have loved, and I've kind of followed down that path. That being said, there have been hard days where I don't write at all, where everything has felt, all the outside things have felt really heavy. So I just try to give myself some grace and time and let those things kind of move through me and get back to work the next day as best I can.
Yeah, I think it's just like, it's an ebb and flow. Like, there's a lot going on. You're still like, you still have to show up and do work and be a mom and do all these different things at the same time. Like, you know, it's a lot going on. So it's okay. I think it's great that you got some creative juices. Like, you know, that's been really nice.
Yeah, the mom thing has also helped a lot too, because you really don't have a choice. Like, your tiny humans need things. You can't stay in bed for days at a time. So they've been a good like motivating factor for me.
Yeah, I think they might just take you outside of your comfort zone. Like, okay, I need to be fed. I need to play. I need to play.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. And you got two of them. So
yeah.
So that's awesome. So let's chat about Tokyo Raptor. So first off, what is the elevator pitch?
So it's been described as Crazy Rich Asians meets The Princess Diaries.
Yes, and I can agree. So it's a 17-year-old girl who rediscovers that her dad was a prince in Japan, and then she discovers this world in Japan.
Yeah, so it's Izumi Tanaka, who's our protagonist, and she lives in a mostly white Northern California town, a very small town, Mount Shasta. And she lives with her single mom. Mm-hmm. And Izumi, or Izzy as she goes by, has always wondered about her father and where she comes from. And then with the help of her tech-savvy best friend, she discovers her father's identity. And spoiler alert, he is the crown prince of Japan, which means that Izumi is a princess. And what follows is Izumi's journey to Japan to meet her father and explore the country that she's always dreamed of. But of course, there are lots of complications along the way. The main one is Izumi's struggle, feeling as if she's caught between America and Japan, mm-hmm. Both of which she doesn't really truly feel a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the identity issue, like just coming to terms like who you are as a person. And it's like, I think when you're teenagers, like it's like, it feels more heightened, the emotion. Like it feels like, okay, where do I belong? And I think the question of belonging is like a big one. And like the question about like, you know, she's like going to this place and fish out of water and expect, yeah, and be expecting to act certain ways, you know.
Yeah. So there's the Japanese American element of that, you know, not feeling American or Japanese enough. But I also think what you say is true, that there's a universal theme of adolescence and figuring out who you are and where you belong, and who you're going to become.
Mm-hmm. And let's chat about the friendships, because I feel like that's like such a fun aspect of the, you know, because it's like, yes, there's romance and yes, there's stuff, but the reality is the friendships were kind of like the cornerstone. Like her friends, mm-hmm. they're Google savvy, they figure out who the identity, yeah, is based on breadcrumbs, they're like have their back, and it's like, mm-hmm. it's definitely like, I feel like that added the emotion of it. So
yeah, I, some of the, I mean, the friendships are inspired by my true life friendships, just a group of really strong girls that support each other. And I wanted Izumi to have that. I thought it was important for her to have strong friendships and also a strong relationship with her mom, mm-hmm. because that really allowed her to take this big risk where she goes to Japan and she meets her father. I think without that net, she would have been more hesitant to explore this other world, this other part of herself.
Yeah, her mom was really cool. So yeah, I love her mom. And I love the dad. I love, like, he was like, you know, awkward with Dewey. Like, it's still, but it was just like fun. Like the mom was like so cool. Like I was like, I want to have her as my mom. I love mom, but yeah. That's like mom goals, you know.
They have a really special relationship. And yeah, like I said, I wanted to keep those relationships very steadfast because I wanted Izumi to be able to focus on what she wanted to focus on, which was finding her identity.
So chat about the book, it's somewhat set in Japan. Did you go to Japan to figure out, or was it just like just a experience, like, you know?
So for research for the book, I wasn't able to go to Japan. Unfortunately, I would have loved to. I'm planning a trip, I think, spring 2022, keep your fingers crossed. We'll see what travel looks like then. But I have friends, I have family in Japan that helped me get all of the detail work right and all of the detail work about the Imperial family. So that probably was like the most challenging part of the novel, was writing those scenes, especially the initial ones when Izumi is first in Tokyo, and just getting all those details right, like what highway she drove down and the route that she took to get to the Imperial Palace. Like I was all over Google Maps, like tracing like myself through downtown Tokyo into the Imperial Palace.
I love this. Yeah, I thought it was like, so it felt like an escape, like for me, that it was like a travel. Like we haven't been able to travel in a couple of years. And it's like, it's just like a really nice escape to just be like, oh, I can go to Japan. You
know? Yeah, that armchair traveling is very important right now.
Yes, it is. So what are you working next?
So Izumi is going to be back next year. We're going to see her again in Tokyo Dreaming. She is now, I'm actually finishing revisions on this book. So she is fully ensconced in palace life. I can't say too much. I don't want to give away any spoilers, but
I'm excited. We're getting another book. Just like, yeah. Oh my gosh, just so exciting. Like,
mom is going to come and her stinky dog is going to be in Tokyo. It's going to be great.
Oh, this is so great. This is like for listeners to come and pick up Tokyo Ever After. This is like, if you're looking for a good escape from
stress and anxiety, this is like your perfect read to just dive into it. So I'm excited. And I'm excited for book two. Like now I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta wait. So I had a question. This is a book recommendation show. So have you read any books that you recommend? Like some, it doesn't have to be front list, back list. It can be any book that you've read. And you're like, you know, people should read this or should pick up.
Yeah. So I'm working my way right now through Minor Feelings by Kathy Park Hong. It's a compilation of essays. Mm-hmm. And it's so great. It's a really beautiful book. It's fairly intense. So I kind of take tiny bites of it. I just finished Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bowley, and I might be butchering her last name, so I apologize if I am, but it is a YA thriller and amazing and edge of your seat and also so, so beautifully written.
It is so good. I read this book. It's like just such an escape, you know, yeah. I think it's just where I'm looking. My 2021 reading is like, can it be an escape? Can you just take me somewhere else?
Right now.
Tell us where you can find you online.
I am on Instagram at Emiko Jean Books, and you can find me on my website, emikojean.com.
Awesome.
And a good read.
Oh, thank you, Emiko, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.